1027 Business with Michael Avery.
The law feature on Hot Business is brought to you by leading full-service law firm Weber Wenzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Weber Wenzel ensures that you have the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, the John Quilani judgment has certainly created a lot of interest. 13 years after Quilani wrote a derogatory article comparing gays and lesbians to animals, the Constitutional Court has finally ruled that the former journalist and ambassador's column was indeed harmful. In the column, Quilani, the ambassador to Uganda from 2010 to 2014, not only compared gays and lesbians to animals, but he implied that they were responsible for the moral decay in society. It obviously led to a huge public outcry. We saw over 1,000 complaints being lodged with the Press Ombud and hundreds of complaints laid with the South African Human Rights Commission. And the man who always has his finger on the pulse of these cases is Dario Milo, partner at Weber Wenzel. Dario, welcome. In a judgment that was handed down on Friday by the Constitutional Court, the nub really was all about the constitutional aspects of the Equality Act. And the court held that while some parts of the Act were indeed vague, the former journalist's column in a Sunday newspaper about gays and lesbians was indeed harmful. What was the nub of the court's justification for this when one balances the rights of freedom of speech versus hate speech?
Hi, Michael, and hello to all the listeners as well. Fascinating judgment, of course, and we were there for the Media Monitoring Africa group as an amicus. And I think what's fascinating about it is both on the facts and on the law, the court grapples with these issues and sometimes very difficult issues about where to draw the line. On the facts, it wasn't very difficult for the court because the court quite easily came to the correct conclusion that what John Quilani had written in that article many years ago clearly constituted hate speech. And that was after they had reinterpreted the definition of hate speech, which I'm coming to in a moment. So there is a clear vindication for the challenge to Quilani's article, which said that what was published there was clearly hate speech. It propagated hatred. It was harmful to a group of people, and therefore it needed to be declared to be hate speech. So that's a really important vindication from the judgment. But secondly, on the law, what the court does is it says, let's get into this balancing act. And it goes into the detail of Section 10 of the Equality Act. And what it does there is it says, generally speaking, that section is fine. It passes constitutional tests. But there's one aspect of it, which is where it prohibits hurtful speech. And the court says that goes too far because hurtful speech should be protected by freedom of expression. On the other hand, harmful speech and speech that promotes and propagates hatred should not be protected by the Constitution. So you see there, in the way the court gets into the nitty-gritty of it, the balancing that's required in this kind of area.
And it's important to note that, because if you're just going to rely on something that's hurtful, you are setting the bar rather low. And there was also the issue here around in Section 10 of the Equality Act, where it lists hurtful, harmful, and to incite harm. It doesn't use and or in between those. And that's important. What did the court find on that particular issue?
You know, Michael, there was a very vocal debate amongst all the parties about whether that section should be read in a way that you imply an and, in other words, conjunctively, all three of those have to be present, hurtful, harmful, and promote hatred, or disjunctively, you know, where you assume there's an or between each of the three and any of the three would suffice. The court ultimately comes to the conclusion that you must read in an and, in other words, you must read it conjunctively. So that speech has to be both harmful and propagate hatred in order to be hate speech. Of course, they had by then also taken the view that the hurtful aspect of it must go. So now the bottom line is for hate speech to be constitutionally permissible as for the regulation of hate speech, I should say, to be constitutionally permissible, the hate speech in question on the facts has to be both harmful as well as propagate hatred. And of course, the court then goes into quite a bit of detail as to what those terms mean in the context of the facts of that particular case.
Absolutely. So it still has to be weighed up against the facts. And then just lastly, a point on the time taken for the court to rule and for the wheels of justice to grind. And we know they grind interminably slowly, but some say justice delayed is justice denied. 13 years, John Colani is now dead. Any thoughts on why it took the Constitutional Court this long to rule?
Well, Michael, yes, the Constitutional Court did take a long time from September last year, which is when the case was heard. There was more of a delay than would otherwise have been the case because of the passing of Mr. Quelani, and the court then sought further written submissions on what that meant for the case, whether the case had become academic or not. And they deal with that in their judgment and rightly say it's not academic, because although they couldn't obviously order John Quelani to apologize now that he has passed, they could certainly still vindicate the rights of those affected and issue a declaratory order, which is exactly what they did. So that caused a bit of the delay. As for the other 12 or so years, that is an indictment, I think, on our legal system and on the fact that a case like this took so long to get to the Constitutional Court. It's very unusual, but one does hear of these kinds of cases that take long, and I've been involved in some myself, where with the best will in the world, there are delays, there are referrals back to lower courts, there are constitutional challenges taken, and as you say, the wheels of justice do turn very, very slowly indeed. I think in this particular case, you know, it's a case of better late than never, as opposed to too little too late.
Absolutely. Dario Milo, partner at Weber Wenzel, with his thoughts on the Quelani judgment in the Law Feature, which was brought to you by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.